Mark 6 and 47. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed, and in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. That's an odd ending there, isn't it? But I think it describes our human frailty pretty accurately. We see some incredible things. We've been amazed at the answered prayer. But a new situation comes, and all of a sudden we've forgotten it. Amen. But I want us to focus for just a short while here on a phrase from verse 51. He went up unto them into the ship. Praise God. We're all in the same boat. Amen. Aren't you glad the Lord is here with us? Praise God. You may be seated. Now, we can prize the presence of the Lord. Prize in the sense of regarding it very highly, to highly regard something, a prize. Not like a prize that you win, like the lottery or something, and there's millions of dollars there, and somebody's going to win it. And it's, you know, it's odd that psychics don't win it all the time. How come they don't win it? If they're authentic, they should win the lottery every time, don't you think? And know what the winning numbers are because they're psychic. Well, a prize is also something that you can cherish and greatly desire. The Apostle Paul said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's the NIV rendering of Philippians 3:14. But we know what he's talking about. He's reaching for the prize. He's forgetting those things that are behind. He's pressing on. He's reaching. He's continually desiring that prize. And thank God that eternal presence of God indeed is a tremendous prize. And so we recognize how precious the presence of the Lord is. Usually in the Word of God, the word precious refers to gems, it refers to stones, it refers to those aspects that we consider of great value. Psalm 36 contrasts the goodness of God with the wickedness of man, and the attributes of the Lord are described in that passage. His mercy, his faithfulness, his righteousness, his judgments, how he preserves, his loving kindness that is extended to us, his satisfaction that he makes available, the rivers of pleasure that we find in him, the fountain of life and light. All of these things are amazing. Verse 7, the passage that says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, the margin reads, how precious, thank God that his loving kindness can be precious to us. And furthermore, the interesting aspects of the marginal reading in verse 8, where it talks about we're abundantly satisfied. The margin reads, we're watered. Amen. And Paul, writing this as a shepherd, as one who is familiar with desert places, and in fact has been fleeing from his enemies, and it's been difficult for him to find rest and to be able to have his needs met and so on. It's interesting that he would use that aspect of being watered and that supply, that blessing that's there. And certainly, these aspects of God are all precious. We don't take them for granted. And Peter uses the word precious several times in his writings, both his first letter and second letter to the church. He reminds us that we are redeemed, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Thank God he redeems us from sins. Moreover, Peter reminds us that there are precious promises whereby we are made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But we reach out for that which is precious. Praise God. Let me just share a few instances with you quickly from the word of the Lord of those who had the presence of the Lord and whether or not they considered it to be precious, where they continued in that precious aspect of the presence of the Lord. It's described in the scripture. Adam and Eve had the Lord come to them in the cool of the day. It was a pleasant time of the day when it was cool and breezy, but what was more pleasant was to have the presence of the Lord. They prized it. They valued it. But sin separated them from the Lord, and they experienced fear. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. The death that they experienced and that the Lord warned them about was not a cessation of life. It was not the end of life, but it was the end of a special relationship, a precious relationship that they had with the Lord. When Jacob was leaving home, he heard from the God of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 28. God told him, "I am with thee." Moreover, he said, "I will not leave thee." That precious presence of the Lord. He was away from his mom and dad. He was fleeing from the wrath of his brother, but the presence of the Lord was there with him, and that is the most important thing. Jacob realized, "The Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." It was a time of trouble. It was a time of difficulty. It was a time of separation for him, a time of hardship, and he didn't realize the Lord was there. How often that same experience happens to us. How often we are overwhelmed with difficulty and problems, and we didn't even realize the Lord's still here. The Lord's still with us. The Lord is still walking with us. Thank God that we're able to know his power and his blessing. So Jacob made the promise. "If God be with me," he went on to say, "then shall the Lord be my God." What was happening was there was something taking place. There was something being solidified and established in his walk with the Lord, in his faith in Almighty God. It was something that was developing that we can appreciate today as we use the phrase, "the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." He is making that declaration. "If God be with me, then shall the Lord be my God." And he went on to make the commitment, "I will surely give the tenth to the Lord." Thank God that when the Lord gives to us, we can give back to him and recognize his presence is worth it. His power and his blessings are worth it. Thank God that we can know his goodness. Joseph was just 17 years old when he heard from God. He had that special relationship with his father, a coat of many colors that designated he had the special favor of his dad. 17 years old when he was sold by his brothers into slavery. He experienced Egypt, yet he kept an exceptional attitude. Four times in Genesis 39 alone, there is the phrase, "the Lord was with Joseph." The Lord was with him. Thank God he lived his life with that precious presence of the Lord. And he continued on in his service to God as a Hebrew, learning definitely the Egyptian language, learning that culture, learning all that would benefit him in that civilization. But he maintained his identity as a Hebrew. He maintained that language probably in the times that he prayed, so that when his brothers finally came and they spoke to one another in the Hebrew language, He could understand what was being said because he maintained his identity as a Hebrew, as a servant of one God, as one who called upon Jehovah. Thank God for the blessings of the Lord. Moses likewise experienced a burning bush, God's presence coming to him in a powerful way, and he was dispatched on a journey. He went forth on a mission, and he brought the plagues of Pharaoh and the hand of God upon Pharaoh and the people of Egypt. And he went out from there, journeying as God directed him to. In Exodus 33, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. The Lord reminded Moses, the Lord reminded the people of Israel of a land flowing with milk and honey. Now the promise of the promised land was a wonderful thing, but the presence of God was more important to Moses. Moses said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. It's more important, Moses was saying, that I have your presence with me, Lord, wherever I am. It's more important that I know you're with me, Lord. And that promised land is a wonderful thing, and we're looking forward to that. But if your presence is not there, I don't want to go. Thank God that we can look to the presence of the Lord and know he will be there with us, and his blessing be so powerful. In verse 16, Moses said, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Four times in that verse or that passage of scripture, that phrase, we have found grace in your sight, appears. Thank God for the grace of the Lord. Thank God for the grace that God extends to us. God never changes. God's always the same. But Moses was asking, how is it going to be known that we have found grace in your sight, Lord? Is it not in that thou goest with us? His presence is most important. Thank God that we can have the presence of the Lord and his blessings. And so we see that historical aspect, and we quickly jump to the account of Jesus getting in the boat with them. The gospel writers give this account, Matthew 14, John 6, Mark 6, that we read here today. In each instance, fear was a common factor. Sometimes we're so overwhelmed with fear, we're so overwhelmed with pain, we're so overwhelmed with problems that we can't sense his presence. But thank God he is there with you in the storm. Amen. We need to exercise faith. Oh God, I know we're in trouble here now. I know we're having problems. I know we're in pain and fear is knocking on the door. But oh God, let my faith reach out to you. Let my faith grab hold of your promise. Let my faith stand on the reality that you will be in the midst. Thank God for the blessings that the Lord is there to provide for us. He saw them toiling in a contrary wind. It was the fourth watch, which was about 3 or 6 at night in the morning. And certainly it was dark. Perhaps the first rays of the sun were beginning to shine over the eastern horizon, the mountains that were there. But he saw them. It didn't matter if it was the darkness of the night or the dawn of the morning. He saw them. Thank God. The Lord knows where you are. The Lord knows what you're experiencing. The Lord knows what you're going through. Just as he saw them, thank God he sees you. Amen. Now he came walking to them on the water. Ah, that must have been an incredible thing, Brother Bazaar. Is it? The wind was blowing. The waves were crashing. It wasn't a smooth surface. How was he able to walk? How was he able to go from crest to crest? Or down in the in between the waves? How was he able to maintain his balance and all of that? My God, just walked on it. Hallelujah. Thank God that he is able to demonstrate his power. Thank God he left the throne of glory to come to this world that he spoke into existence. Thank God that he ministered in such a powerful and a wonderful way. But the fact is, he joined them in their leaky old boat. He could have said, come on out here. I'll show you how I can demonstrate my power. I, every one of you can walk on water. Come on out here. Could have done it. Amen. We know Peter did and asked the question, can I come? But the Lord stepped into their boat. Praise God. He displayed his divinity walking on the water. But he chose to experience their humanity as he got into their leaky old boat. He wants to be with us. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Be of good cheer, he said. Two accounts record that phrase, be of good cheer. Thank God. He told us in John 16:33, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The world did not overcome him. The world did not overwhelm him. The devil did not drag him down with temptations. Thank God. All that he experienced as a man did not keep him from stepping into the realm of victory. Thank God that we can be of good cheer because he is conqueror. Because he is king. Because he hears our prayers. Because he knows where we are. Because he is able to join us wherever we are. With his power. It is I, he said, be not afraid. And thank God all three writers include that. It is I, be not afraid. Peter desired to walk on the water in Matthew 14. He said, bid me come unto thee on the water. What was his motivation? Did he just want to experience what it was like to walk on that surface that he had been working with all of his life? All of the nets that he threw overboard, all of the fish that he hauled out of the water, all the gear that he dropped overboard, and whoops, it's gone. He recognized you can't walk on that. That's water. Was it just the thrill that he was looking for? Was it just the experience that he'd be able to talk to his grandkids and say, hey, you know what? Look at that water out there. I walked on it. It wasn't that. Even though I'm sure that must have been an incredible thing for him to recount. But what his desire was, he wanted to be with Jesus. He walked on the water, the Bible says, to go to Jesus. Oh, that God would put something within our hearts that says it doesn't matter how impossible it looks. It doesn't matter how difficult it may appear. I want to be with Jesus. That's my desire. That's my heart. That's what I long for. That's what I'm hoping for. I want to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I really think the important fact of the matter is Jesus wants to be with us so that we will want to be with him. That's the purpose of what we feel when we come together to exalt his name and to lift him up. David said, as the deer pants for water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. I like the way the Living Bible puts it so plain. Amen. Amen. The water holes in Africa, Brother Eichert, you've seen them, you've been there. The water holes in Africa or any other desert area, you wait and watch long enough, you're going to see all kinds of animals come. They've got to come to that water hole. They're going to show up. They're going to be there. Even natural enemies, there they are. They're drinking water from that water hole. You see, David's saying it so correctly. I'm thirsty for you, God. I'm hungry for you, Lord. I need your presence. I want your presence. I desire your presence. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But we're all in the same boat. Amen. We all have the same experience. We're all in the same hardship. We're all going to suffer the same fate. Whoa, no, back up. We're gonna be in the presence of the Lord. We're going to have him with us. Praise God. Jesus experienced the temptations and the difficulties and the weakness and the infirmity of the flesh. He knew grief and sorrow. He knew pain and tears. He knew anger and exasperation. He knew sighing and frustration. He knew joy and rejoicing. He knew death and the grave. And he wants us to experience victory and the resurrection. Praise God. Thank the Lord that He went through everything that we do. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Thank God that He knows all that we know, but He also knows victory. He also knows power. He also knows blessing. Thank God that we can be involved in the victory that He wants to extend to us. Praise God. But oh, thank God for the fellowship that we can have in the boat. Amen. Take care of your boat. Amen. Hallelujah. Paddle hard. One writer said, it's hard to drill a hole in the bottom of your boat when you're gripping the paddle and paddling for all you're worth. Praise God. Don't do damage, but keep paddling. Amen. Don't bring destruction. Keep paddling. Praise God. Don't bring division. Keep paddling. Thank God. We're all in the same boat. Amen. Hallelujah. Catch fish. Amen. The more the merrier. Thank God for all that the Lord has provided for us as we walk on with Him. The Lord wants to know He's there with you. That fiery furnace was heated 7 times hotter, but it didn't matter. Those young men were going to continue on serving God. They weren't going to bow to an image, and they weren't going to burn either. The sinful symphony can sound. It doesn't matter. We're not going to blend in with that kind of harmony. The enemies of those 3 young men pointed out, they don't serve, they don't worship that image. Amen. Thank God, Brother Bartlett taught a tremendous message today about service, about worship, about ministry. Thank God these young men didn't serve, they didn't worship the golden image. They only served, they only worshiped one God. Hallelujah. They confirmed it. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what the threat is. We're not going to serve or worship any other. So indeed, the furnace was heated 7 times hotter. It seems like the first level would have been good enough. Amen. But that the king later on would confess, didn't we throw 3 bound into the fire? How is it now that I see 4 walking loose in the fire and the 4th is like the Son of God? Oh, my friend, understand that my God is there with you. Amen. The power of the Lord is there. Isaiah 43:2, the Lord said, when thou passest through the water, when you pass through the river, when you pass through the fire, I will be there with you. Thank God, let's stand today. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord is there with us. Yes, His power is great. His majesty is wondrous. His blessing is incredible. But He left all of that so that He could get in the boat with you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Ezekiel is one of those books. You're reading through the Bible in the year and the bread program. It's kind of like Leviticus. You can hardly wait to get through it. Oh, let me get to chapter 37. The Valley of Dry Bones. Woo, finally made it. Let me get to chapter 47. And oh, man, the river of life. Praise God. It's awesome. But really, Ezekiel started with a vision of God. And it ends with a vision of God. And that's where we get, in Isaiah 48:35, Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is there. And all of my troubles, in all of my questions, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. In all of my difficulties, in all of my tests, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Hallelujah. In my sickness, in my disease, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord will get right in your experience. The Lord will get right in your difficulty. The Lord will get right in your leaky old boat. Because He wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. Now, I'm thankful that we have a hope of heaven. in the sweet by and by. Praise God. And what a thrill. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. That's what's going to make it heaven. Praise God. But we're here. We're in this place. We're in this life. The nasty now and now, not the sweet by and by. But the Lord is there. The Lord is there. And here's my question now. Here's what it comes down to. Here's the important matter. Do you want to be with Him as much as He wants to be with you? That's what it comes down to. See, otherwise we can take it for granted. Oh, that feels good. Oh, that was a wonderful song. Great worship service. Let's see, what else can I do today? Oh, my friends are calling. I've got something else that I need to do. Do you want to be with Him as much as He wants to be with you? Praise God. Come to a place of prayer here this morning. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's reach out to the Lord. Let's desire His presence. Thank God. Not just a tingle, not just a chill, not just a thrill going up and down your spine, but come on, let God in your leaky old boat to minister to you His healing. Let Him put you back together. Let His blessings flow. Come on, reach out to the Lord and let His touch minister to your heart right now. Hallelujah.
Come to my rescue. Where else can I go?
There's no other
name by which I am saved.